Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
America, welcome to Epic Episode 54 tonight. And the main theme tonight is the war on white males in America, Part 2. This is our star date of June 10th, 2021 AD. This is Episode 54, back in my KFNX days at 1100 a.m., I did over 200 episodes there on the new format Blog Talk. We're now on episode 5-4, and we're coming up on our milestone at 100, which will be in no time. The way time is moving very, very quickly in this dystopian nightmare called the Weimar American Republic. I'm sure you will agree. I told you in the last show, they think they can erase us, but they do so only in vain. Like the great Jedi Knight Obi-Wan Kenobi said in Star Wars, the more they try to destroy us, the more powerful we will become. And in the days, weeks, and months ahead, my fellow Americans and patriots, you may need to show that power overtly, if you know what I mean. Enough talk at some point, because we're being attacked on all sides. The theme tonight is real. There is a war on white males in America. We will talk about it. We're the only show that has the guts to talk about it. All other rhino talk show hosts have got their PC program directors running around feverishly, wiping their brow, very nervous when these kinds of subjects come up. As I told you before on many prior shows, the Democrat Marxist Party in America, they talk about race or skin color or creed 24 hours a day, every day of the year, 24/7. And whenever anyone on the right wing talks about race, their attitude is, how dare you? God forbid. But you know what? They've been assaulting us for years. And academia, the media, even the military now has PC classes and white privilege classes for officers and enlisted men. The war continues. It is a political war, but it is a war nonetheless. Now, my father and my family fought in every war that this nation has embarked on, including the Revolutionary War, all the way up to the present. I've had a relative in my family fight in every major American war. And my father fought the militant communists in Korea, in Vietnam, as did my uncles. My uncle Cliff, in World War II, went to Burma before the attack on Pearl Harbor. He was an expert machine gunner in the Army in the Korean War and was the commander of many machine gun nests and military emplacements up and down the front lines. He trained our American crews very well to fight back these waves of Japanese soldiers in World War II that were attacking the Flying Tiger air bases there in Burma and also in Korea. When wave after wave of the Chinese and Korean communist soldiers flung themselves against a steel wall of American bullets coming at them. My uncle told me they stacked the communist corpses 6 feet deep, and the ground had turned red with their blood. My father called in many airstrikes in Vietnam against the communist forces attacking our troops. He had a bounty on his head and was an expert at bombing the enemy. He trained bomber pilots and was very proficient and accurate in the use of the B-52 bomber, napalm strikes, and he gave our illustrious pilots in the air exact, precise coordinates to hit them hard when our military troops were under heavy and very intense fire. Many lives were saved on our side. Now we see this communist scum on the streets of America, in our own backyard, protesting and rioting all last year. It's a precursor, in my view, to what will be unfolding this year or next. This summer, I think, will get hot. These groups are out there simmering, ready to explode. You know, they now march in your suburbs, and, you know, we saw this last summer, fall, and spring, where they demand that you come out of your homes and you grab their hand and join them. They want you to drop your rifle to the ground, Mr. America, as you sing Kumbaya with them and worship at their Democrat Marxist political altar, the true Tower of Babel. They are the true enemy within. But now we find them here among us, just like the Viet Cong. You could see them during the day, my dad said, and at night they were plotting against you and your base and locating their targets of opportunity wherever they may find them. It was 24/7 terror in Vietnam or any war zone, as any soldier will tell you, as you are never sure what is going to happen or when. So welcome to the war zone tonight. We have war-gamed many of these scenarios. You will hear many very smart and great callers. And we have much more news to discuss in tonight's very important broadcast. The communists are here. The Democrat Party and their other groups of Antifa, BLM, etc. We never thought we'd have to fight them on our own ground, our own sovereign land. But that may be the case. We'll talk more about that in tonight's broadcast. I have some very interesting intel to provide to you. Some of it's on the internet and some of it is not, but you have to dig for it because I'm a sleuth on the internet and I have many real world people that give me intel as well. Now, ex-president Barack Hussein Obama always had a deep-seated hatred of white males and white Americans in general. We see this in the critical race theory he's proposed and what he supports in all of our nation's schools and that of his Democrat Party. So there is a war on white males. We're going to talk about that tonight and segue that into what else is happening. And you all know this to be true. Now, getting back to China for a second to move over to Asia, another theater of war, which China has been exposed, they believe, for election theft in America and perpetrating a Fauci-led biological attack on the USA via the COVID virus. China, in many sources are telling me, has indeed moved up their timetable to attack America. Now, we'll explain this in the show. There's many military sources and intel people that naturally cannot be divulged. You have to take it for what it's worth, as I do. But there are many military people inside that are patriots that conclusively state that the Chinese are pushing forward with their timetable to attack the U.S. mainland. Now, many intel people that they might send things to the show, little snippets of information. They might route me to other websites. They might drop me hints. They might be very overt and just send me all the documents. But the Chinese forces right right now are looking at America to occupy it at some future date. There's new developments and new revelations that, in my view, make it appear very clear that the Chinese are preparing at some point, nothing maybe next month or next week, but they are preparing at least something, and it could coincide with the UN Army, to cross our northern and southern borders, occupation forces or not. Many people say this can never happen. That's crazy. How could you say that? Well, we thought a year ago that wearing the mask was crazy. We thought a year ago that a lot of things were nuts. But look, it's already happened. So I'll explain this to you why, and why I think these intel sources are probably shedding some light on why a Chinese invasion, properly prepared, is likely coming at some future date. It could be 5 or 10 years from now. We're not really sure. But I've always warned you that though we want to have a good life, and you want to have a good life, you want to prepare yourself, be inspired. And it's not all doom and gloom out there, that's for sure. But at the same time, the undercurrent of America and of the world is that we are a world at war. At the heart of it, the Chinese have been blackmailing, in my view, the Biden crime family, and most of all, stealing an American election. Now, that is an act of war, and America is justified in any response to China, as a matter of fact, as of today. There are more reasons why China could and why they should be at some point checkmated, as we shall say, in the South China Sea or elsewhere. Now, it's interesting to know that basically, that this all stems from the Fauci emails that were released this week, the huge revelation. Those of you who have not read those, go to Google and read them. They are amazing. They do shed a lot of light on the COVID-19 virus, China, the Wuhan lab, how it all links together. And I read a lot of them, and they are amazing. Now, we all know that Joe Biden is in bed with the communists. There are some legal avenues some people are even pursuing that could be used to legally remove Biden from office, which they say do not violate American law with regard to potential treason. Well, we'll get to that later. There's a lot of people that are doing a lot of things behind the scenes, put it that way. But the CCP, which stands for the Chinese Communist Party, to those of you in Apache Junction, does appear to be moving forward with their invasion plans. In my consultations with people, they have advised me that they have some interesting information about the fifth column support that we have seen pour over our southern border, i.e. The gangs, MS-13, all the cartel gangs, etc., that are already in America. They could bring absolute havoc and chaos to this country if they were to be paid or bought by any kind of a Chinese proxy army or the real People's Liberation Army. Now, I think in due time, the CCP will seize Taiwan. America's not going to do anything about it. We will see an invasion force, much like how they took over Hong Kong, quickly, quietly, with some scuttlebutt in the street. Remember, all the people in Hong Kong were waving American flags, talking about Trump, but basically, we didn't do anything about that. We ceded it, as did, of course, the great British government there in Parliament, Great Britain. But the Fauci emails reveal, in my view, that there is already a Chinese invasion of the political realm, at least, already underway. And going forward, there's going to be no shortage of Benedict Arnolds that we see in this country, hate to say it. But China and our Patriot U.S. military forces are in a race to see who can first take the initiative and seize the high ground. So it's very interesting what's going on there. There's a lot of people that say that we could see more of this talk. There's already been a lot of things that have leaked out about Mexico, about Chinese forces training there, about we already know for a fact that Chinese forces have trained up in Justin Trudeau's Canada for northern winter training. Trudeau invited them over. That's been documented and that's been admitted by the Canadian government. The Mexican government's more tight-lipped about it, but we'll get to that more in the show. But there are a lot of things happening. Now, also going forward, there could be some false flags. We haven't had one of those in a while. I'm telling you, that's probably about to happen. In my view, the Biden administration knows that they are in trouble. The military does not like his tyrannical takeover, at least the Patriots there. But we're so glad you're here tonight. We have Jake Vegas calling from the Las Vegas Strip. He's going to give us an update, an intel report on the hotel casino action, Rat Pack style, what's happening there, scuttlebutt, the local economy. And so we're looking forward to his call here at about 8:30, 8:40 for a good rendition from Jake Vegas, what he's been up to, his current projects, et cetera. And then we'll get to our calls in the second hour. If you want to dial in tonight for that portion of the show, it's 563-999-3437. You have reached the Radio Octagon. I am your Germanic warlord, Von Wiehut. I broadcast every Thursday night deep in the mountains of Arizona from my underground.
Von Wiehut speaks truth to power. Von Wiehut speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. No excuses for putting America first. Von Wiehut, the Barbarian. Thursday at 8 p.m. The Von Wiehut Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wiehut is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wiehut will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wiehut is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wiehut, the Barbarian. Thursday at 8 p.m.
Now, we by design and on purpose talk about many heavy topics other talk shows just simply avoid altogether. We will talk about Civil War. We will talk about Balkanization. We will talk about the Chinese Army and the CCP and things of that nature. America doesn't really need right now, in my view, another Civil War. There is a lot of talk of that. What we do need, though, is Balkanization. We need more of that. We need more of our people moving with other like-minded people of the same ideology, the same faith, and get around people that are armed like you, that are patriots like you, live next to them, be in the same neighborhoods. We know the government will try to Section 8 things at some point and try to break it up, but self-balkanize as much as you can right now. That's the best method to defeat them. Get in groups and clusters and arm yourselves. We don't know what the hell's coming down the pike. If a civil war ever were to develop in this country, we don't want that. I know what that means. That's going to be terrible for everybody. It would happen organically anyway. And I know a lot of you guys are out there and you are thinking of a lot of different scenarios. I would tell you this. Keep a cool head. Keep your powder dry. Don't do anything stupid. Because you might have plenty of opportunity to fight if the Chinese invade. Let me tell you that much. So train, continue to work out, get strong of mind, body, and spirit. Because it may all come into play or come to a head in America's future. I've wargamed a lot of this, and America could be thrust in the future into a martial law scenario. It would be probably a combination of civil unrest, civil war. Somebody in the government would invoke martial law at that point, and that could be a very deadly time in American history, which we do want to avoid. Martial law is not fun, but martial law is usually preceded by a false flag. Looking at the war map, there is no shortage of false flag possibilities, and trying to choose the time and the place or the end of the end is a fool's errand. However, there are a definitive 17 elements of martial law that we can analyze in order to gauge the progress America is making with regard to that, as the Chinese could be posed across both borders simultaneously. So many people are saying that the Biden administration knows that the election audits have them in big, big trouble. And some say that they are going to play the false flag card very soon, this summer. The Biden administration goes down this road, this intelligence, rogue intelligence road, and puts forth a false flag, invokes martial law in the summer or fall. That would be terrible for this country. I hope that does not happen. We do not want that to happen. But at some point, with him, Kamala Harris up there, we don't know what's going to happen. But there are 17 things that could happen. The type of forecast false flag is not fully known. But there are some deep cover people that say that Biden's handlers are running out of time. And they say that we could also expect another Chi-Com biological attack this summer, COVID-20 maybe, because COVID-19, we all know, did not do the job it was intended for. It was intended to hurt more people, to make more people sick, to kill more people, to be blunt. But the 17 elements of martial law are a mass roundup of political dissidents, dusk to dawn curfews, rationing of essential resources, the seizing of personal assets, such as food and water, control over all food and water and supplies, the prohibition of weapons of any kind, including guns, knives, or chemicals which can be turned into explosives, the confiscation of property, homes, and businesses, arrests without due process, massive papers, please type checkpoints, with very intrusive searches, forced relocations, forced conscription into various labor camps and even into the military to fight more no-win wars, the outlawing of free speech, the installation of massive surveillance programs, and the establishment of neighborhood snitch programs. Where have you heard that before? The total control or elimination of the Christian religion with the arrival of, could be alien disclosure or things of that nature. Control of the media, they already have that. Executions without due process of law. And 17, the total suspension of the U.S. Constitution. We live in a very dramatic and dynamic world at war. We do not know when these things would happen. But I will say that from the desk of President Trump, the 45th president of the United States, this week he had this to say. The Democrats are swarming the great state of Arizona, Trump says, trying to get the forensic election audit stopped because only they know exactly what they've done. And they understand voter fraud far better than anyone. God, is that true? Trump says this could be voter fraud at the highest level. Trump goes on to say, don't think that Arizona is the only state, much more to come. Well, that is amazing, and it is true. And look, these audits are still going on. Everything I'm hearing about these audits all across the nation are they do not bode well for Biden and the Democrat Party. That's the real story. The media laughs about it and they impugn it and they say all these people are a bunch of crazies in these warehouses. They're a bunch of nutcases. They're a bunch of deplorables. They're a bunch of dregs of society dredging up these ballots, trying to look for broken chads or things like that. The media knows damn well they were complicit. They know damn well that where there is smoke, there is fire. So it's amazing what's going to be happening, I think, here in the not-too-distant future. Amazing stuff going on. Folks, we have a big show for you tonight. We're so glad you are here. And I get lots of cards and letters every week. If you want to reach the show, email me at vonwehenshow@gmail.com. We have a chat room that's open on the show as well, on Blog Talk Radio. I see the Gunslingers in there now. Kudos to the Gunslinger. And we've got a lot of news for you, as usual. You know that to be true. And we're also looking for some donors this year, too. If you want to donate to the show, we are looking for some sponsors. Looking very forward to that. Would love to have you on. We can help out your company, the new widget you are making, or whatever else is going on. Whatever else you want to sell out there in the marketplace, your wares, service, or product. Folks, the war on white males in America. We are at war. They are at war with you. And we will have the guts to talk about it. Tonight, it's the Imperial March all over America. Oh, yes. It's a theme song for tonight, the Imperial March, episode 54, The War on White Males in America. Glad you're here tonight. Now, our VIP guest is waiting in the green room studio. It's Jake Vegas. He is a filmmaker and a great guy out there. He's got a good intel report for us from the Vegas Strip. We'll get him on. He's a patriot to the core, and we appreciate him. And a Chinese general last week was reported as buying thousands of acres, 201 tract of land, possibly more in other tracts of land there in Texas to build a either a base or a forward base, forward operating base, an FOB. And he's right over the Mexican border in southern Texas. This is very interesting intel. He is a Chinese millionaire and Chinese ex-general, very with close ties to the CCP. And I thought you would like to know that he's trying to plug in, they say, to the Texas grid. He's trying to get access through Governor Abbott to the Texas grid. And they can shut the whole state down, lights out during any kind of invasion over the Mexican border. We're on top of this situation. We have spies everywhere. And with that, let's go to Jake Vegas from the Vegas Strip and talk with him tonight. Jake, how are you doing tonight, sir?
It's a pleasure to talk to you again, my friend. How are you? It's been far
too long. Yes, doing great. Doing great, my friend. There's a lot of news. Where would you like to begin there in the Las Vegas Strip area, sir?
Well, there's a lot to talk about, isn't it? I mean, we are in the throes and the grips of the apocalypse, you know, as far as I'm concerned. I mean,
yes.
As far as local news goes, you know, to get right into this, I mean, there is so much weighing on all of us at this moment. I mean, we're over a year into the pandemic, where everybody has been shut out of their businesses. We've lost our jobs. We've become reliant on the government for their handouts. We're in the grips of now Biden is proposing a $6 trillion new spending bill with $2 trillion new taxes. So obviously there's a $4 trillion gap there that doesn't add up. What I'm getting at is that we're looking at an apocalyptic level of inflation. And all of the time that he's thrown our borders wide open, which means that all of these young, hungry people are flooding into our country looking for jobs at a time when jobs are quite scarce. And this is going to spell literally an apocalyptic situation for the average working American. Now, as far as what's going on locally here in Las Vegas, I can tell you this much, which is very interesting. The picture that I'm painting here is that we've got a shortage of jobs, but at the same time, we're hearing that there is a shortage of labor. People don't want to go back to work because they're leaning on that government dole out. There's an incentive here to resolve this problem. We've got to get people back to work, and you know they're trying to solve that problem by cutting off government benefits to incentivize people to get back to work. But, you know, I can understand that, but we've gotten ourselves so overextended into this situation that it makes resolving it in a peaceful way very difficult. And what I can tell you from here is that the Democrat states don't want to cut people off. They want to continue down this road to communism, if you ask me. We're hearing now people talking more and more about Andrew Yang-style universal basic income, which is completely ridiculous, as you and I and all of your listeners probably know. An untenable situation. In the meantime, you've got some Republican governors that are going ahead and they're cutting off the unemployment benefits to try to get people to go back to work, which I agree with the idea. But the problem that you run into being in the economic structure within our entire United States is that you'll have one state, a red state, that's living right next door to a blue state. And so the red state goes ahead and says, hey, we're cutting off your unemployment benefits, everybody get back to work. So these people go out and they toil and they work and they break their back trying to earn that dollar and be productive. And then right across the state, you've got people who are sitting on their butts collecting government money. And then they can just cross that state line and go, yeah, okay, give me this food that you've created. Give me this product. Give me this widget. And by the way, here's the government tax dollar in exchange. You know, you go get back to work. I'm going to go sit and play PlayStation. You see, that is a serious problem. That is not fair. And it creates a situation that I don't really see how that ends peacefully. And I wanted to bring that up specifically because I'm living here in Las Vegas, Nevada, coming to you from the area of the Strip. And, you know, Nevada, side note, used to be reliably red. We used to be a red state.
Yes.
And we had an extreme exodus of people from California moving in. Californians brought with them their politics, their ideals, and they voted blue. And we are a blue state now. And, of course, the being a blue state, you're not going to see the blue state Democrat governor come out and go, hey, we want to send you back to work. But what I have personally experienced is now the unemployment benefits have been inexplicably cut off. And they've done it from the technological standpoint of the website. The website is no longer functioning. You cannot file your work search. You cannot file your weekly benefits. And they will not pay you. And they will not answer the phone. Now, me personally, I'm still entitled to those benefits. I'm still entitled.
Yes, you are.
All the way through the end of the year. But
you earned them.
They're simple. Instead of I've earned them, you're darn right. I'm entitled to them. And
yes,
you know, it'd be one thing if those benefits were denied for me because they ran out or because I did something that disqualified myself. But it's not. Instead of going through the bureaucracy of taking those benefits away, they've simply changed the website to where you can no longer get them. You can no longer apply. And there is no answer at the phone. You cannot go into the unemployment office. You cannot get a reply to any of your emails. So that is extremely nefarious, if you ask me. That is
definitely.
It's unbelievable. And, you know, in the meantime, we're getting into this situation with this, you know, like I painted a picture before with massive unemployment, unprecedented inflation, which, by the way, the government offices that are reporting on inflation are saying it's 4% and it's only temporary. That's a lie. They're lying. How do you have temporary inflation? There is no such thing. You either have inflation or you don't. Right? They're calling it temporary. Give me a break. And the point I'm trying to make is that I think that we are getting into Thucydides' trap here. We are headed towards a revolution. We are headed towards something really dark and really bad, in my opinion. And I think that has a lot to do with why the Biden administration is going to be going full speed after our guns. They want to disarm us. And let me tell you something. For all these patriots out here, you know, I'm involved with a local militia. You know, I'm in contact with these people, and I kind of feel like I have a finger on the pulse of what's going on. There are patriots out there that are willing to fight. However, for anybody who's listening, who's like you or I, who is, you know, ready to fight for our country and ready for that kind of thing, let me give you a little bit of a different take on that situation. And that situation is this. I believe that the Democrats want that. They want you to take action. They want you to fight. They want a revolution because they know that it will break society. It will turn into a calamity. To put it in simple terms, it's kind of like the January 6th situation where you give them an action, and then that will give them reason to react in an unconstitutional and extremely authoritarian and totalitarian way.
That's right.
And you know, we're great as Republican, as conservative people, but we're up against a problem. The defining characteristic that separates us from our political foes is that we value individual freedom. And the left values collectivism. I find this all the time when I fight with my friends that are Democrats. They don't care if the Democrats are telling lies. They don't care about truth or logic or any of that. They really don't. They don't care. They don't care that they have double standards. They don't care about any of that. They care about the collectivist attitude, and that's it. And so I remember, when I was going to through December and January, I went to several Trump rallies. And Trump himself came out here to Henderson, not far from where I live.
Remember that.
And had a rally. And it was, you know, the Black Lives Matter people and the Antifa people showed up and tried to disrupt it. And, I was ready personally. I will tell you that I'm not going to go into a lot of detail. You know a little bit more about the story, but I was very much ready to mix it up with those guys.
Absolutely.
And, I was ready to be. I'm just going to cut to the chase and tell you I was ready to instigate violence because I feel like that's the correct way to deal with these guys. And what I found was I had absolutely no support. The Trump supporters that were at the rallies literally protected the Black Lives Matter people and got in my face and told me, hey, listen, man, you know, that Black Lives Matter guy or that Antifa guy, I don't agree with what they have to say, but I'd fight to the death for their right to say it. And I'm like,
they
that's
always say that, don't
lose.
They? Isn't that so
that's
cheesy? They always say that. They think that that's taking the high road, Jake. That's the high road.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're in a hell of a position here, because what Antifa and Black Lives Matter tries to do is they try to provoke you, and you are placed upon the horns of dilemma, because if you react, any reaction will be viewed as overreaction, and it will be framed as such by the mainstream media. If you do not react, then that will be framed as cowardice and weakness. So you're in a real – we're in a hell of a situation that we are in. Largely, you know, people are feeling defeated out there. I know that. People are feeling beaten down, and maybe you should feel that way, because the truth of the matter is that we have lost this cultural war. We don't have a Mark Zuckerberg on our side. The closest thing we had to a Jeff Bezos on our side was Trump. You know, he was the only outspoken, American, America first billionaire that was willing to get out there and face the slings and the arrows. And what did he get for it in return? He got one term as president. You know, all the stops were pulled out. They cheated the election. They stole the election out from under him. And anybody that says different is ridiculous. I mean, let's put aside the Dominion voting machines. I'm not even talking about that. If you want to get down into the nitty-gritty of it, and you only want to talk about what is without question inarguable, is that they changed the rules of the election at the last second. They allowed people to vote who should not be able to vote. They made it impossible to verify the authenticity of any voter ballot. I love that when I argue with people about illegal votes, they go, there's no proof of any illegal vote. I'm like, how are you going to prove it if it is illegal to research who voted and prove that they are legal citizens?
That's right. It's a vicious circular argument. You can't.
It's a totally
you can't win.
Circular argument. No,
you cannot win, and that's how it's designed, to where we can't win. Right.
What we need right now is some really out of the box, forward thinking leadership, and I'm telling you, man, from what I've seen, there's definitely a lack of it. Within the Republican Party, what I see is the Republican Party trying to grab onto the coattails of the Democrats and slow them down. And I'm not seeing any real leadership. And I honestly don't know what to ask for. I've got some ideas, but what do you think? What do you think we do from here?
Wow, I love this call, Jake. We've been itching to get you on the air for a while and catch up with you. This country is, and I love your rendition. I agree with everything you said in spades, 1,000%. I think we're at a real, to use that cliche phrase, a fork in the road. This thing is simmering. I've warned people for years that this is an undercurrent. It's a very dangerous riptide in America. I totally agree with you. It's very obvious from any layman's point of view that the election was stolen. And I totally agree with you that the vast majority of Americans don't care one iota, because Democrats will do anything to win, and that means lie, cheat, and steal and stuff ballot boxes and sign up dead people to vote. They don't care. To them, in their feeble little hamster minds, the ends justify the means always. And you're right.
Yeah.
They have created this straw man argument, and they've put us – what they've done successfully with academia, the government, Hollywood, the media, they've boxed in the right. They've boxed you in, and what they're doing now, they're chipping away. It's a political erosion, I call it. They're chipping away your neighborhoods by doing the Section 8. They're chipping away your jobs, like what you're saying, by getting white males fired. I said last week that the Lockheed Martin, only the white executives were sent for reeducation training at the highest level of a major defense plant. Because they have government contracts. Like you and others, millions of Americans are on unemployment, and this is system-wide. They are not even responding to a phone call or an email. They almost act like, why are you calling us? You've been on unemployment for a year, America? Go away. Buzz off.
Yeah.
Sort of their attitude. And they're making it almost impossible. Some states don't even have like an ombudsman office, a troubleshooting office to go to. And my argument has long been, Jake, that America blows money all over the world, and we never seem to have money for our own people. When our people need help, the government says, screw you. To hell with you people. You don't get nothing. But by God, the next day, I look at the news like you, and I see they're wiring $100 billion to Peru, a trillion to the Middle East, another $45 billion to Israel, or who knows who, Bolivia, Venezuela. I don't care what country it is, but they have money for that. Oh, my God. They always have money for that, to buy off countries for foreign aid, no money for us. To get back to your larger question, look, what I've said time and time again is that right now, to me, the game plan, like I said in my opening monologue, is for America, I'm telling you to balkanize. I'm telling you, go ahead and balkanize. I've been preaching this for years. Yes, yes, emphatically yes. Get in neighborhoods where you're living by Von Weehunt, by Jake Vegas, by the Irish Pirate, by Paul the Gladiator, by Brett the Surfer, by the Gunslinger, by Lincoln and his crew. Live next to those kinds of people. Insulate yourself as much as possible. Self-balkanization, to me, is one big thing that the RNC will never talk about this, but I will, because that is a big thing that America needs to do. If you're surrounded by militant minorities or militant Democrats, Mr. and Mrs. America, a lot of you call them right at the show, you say, I'm in a hellhole. I told you, you're better off ditching your crap, grab an airfare or a car or a Greyhound bus, and you can't say you can't afford it, because even a Greyhound's about $60 to $100 to get halfway across the country. Get the hell out of there. Start fresh.
Right.
Start new. Go someplace where the demographics are on your side. I hate to say that, but you have to say it, because there is a war on white males in America. There is a war on whitey. We've seen this at all these riots, Jake, where they go, kill the white man, you know, and we just, you know, and so this is my thing is, we want peace is what I'm saying. We really do want peace. What the Democrats want, and you nailed it down, they want war. They want Americans to do stupid things. Yeah, I've told everyone before, if you're arrested or in jail or killed, you're of no use to us, man. And they want to bring big trouble to you. You know, go ahead, man.
Well, you know what you're saying about the war on us is very real. I think a lot of this goes back to the Fabian Society. You know, they're the famous stained glass window that we know about, where they, you know, their idea is to reshape the world by heating it up and smacking it with a hammer. I think that that's part of what their plan is. I firmly believe that they're marching us towards communism, and I think that a lot of it has to do with they're trading us out to China. As you know, China holds so much of our debt, and, you know, all they're doing now, you know, we can't pay that debt. So instead of paying it, what we're doing is devaluing the dollar. And, of course, again, that leads to the Thucydides trap, where you're heading towards an inevitable war. Now, China does not want to go to war with us, and we don't want to go to war with them, because we're their best customer and they're making all our stuff. So what I think is happening largely is China has said, okay, you guys owe us all this money and you're going to devalue your dollar. I tell you what, instead of going to war, we'll go ahead and take your devalued currency, but you give us your culture, which means that we give them our country. We allow, they're buying up farmland. They're buying up property all over the United States. They're instituting their Chinese cultural centers in our universities. They're pushing the woke ideology. They're making sure that the Communist Party and their red salute, you know, you notice all these Black Lives Matter people, they're, what do? They run around and they put their fist in the air, a hand in the air with a clenched fist. It's a sign of the Communist Party.
That's right.
Could be similar to, you say, the Nazi Party had the Roman salute. Well, the communists have the red salute. And when they swear in a new executive in a position of authority in the Communist Party in China, they raise their fist with the red salute. And what I think that they're doing is they're pushing this. It's classic Marxist trick. And we are seeing in our nation a raised level of rhetoric against the white male. As you probably saw, that recently this Yale professor came out. She's a psychotherapist.
Yes, I read about her.
She was giving a speech on Zoom to Yale University and said that she had imagined she hated white people so much that she had these fantasies of unloading a revolver into the back of the head of any white person that she might randomly come across, and casually walking away as she wiped the blood from her hands. This is completely psychotic. And, you know, and she's not the only one. We also just recently had another psychiatrist came out, and he wrote a paper about the psychotic nature of whiteness and how it's a disease and it's a communicable disease. This is what we are seeing is a dress rehearsal for mass murder. And the average person out there, especially if you're a white male or an Asian male, you better pay attention because, you know, they say that Asian is white adjacent. This is all the racist rhetoric from the Democrats that pretend that they're so anti-racist. Of course, all that nonsense about, you know, calling the Republican Party the racist party, it's projection from them. They are projecting onto their political opponents what they themselves are guilty of. That's what this critical race theory is all about. But I really think that, you know, what I'm seeing, especially as of late, is a raised temperature in the rhetoric. We've already seen so much violence from the Democrats. I mean, let alone the whole past year of these violent riots that from coast to coast where they're burning our cities down and assaulting white people. And then, you know, these people get arrested. They get thrown into jail, and the DA, backed by George Soros, comes out and says, you know, we're not gonna pursue charges. This is getting worse. And I honestly, I want to speak to people. I'm leading up to another point, by the way. I want to speak to any of your callers or any of your listeners that are listening in. And you better be ready. You better be taking some kind of action. The action that I'm taking, and I know you're probably taking yourself, is, you know, you better start investing in Bitcoin. I know that seems like a little bit of a jump, but we have got to start decoupling ourselves from what's going on in the country. Our country has been taken over by a hostile element from within. It's not any different than if the Chinese army themselves marched on our shores and started raising their flags on our embassies. As you know, that our embassies are actually flying the Black Lives Matter flag under the American
flag.
Yes,
they are. That's the communist flag, absolutely.
It's the communist flag to a T. And so we have to look at what I'm trying to say is that I see a lot of people just thinking that, you know, they're placing their bets on the next election. I honestly do not see us winning the next election. I don't mean to be negative, but if we keep going the way that we're going, we're not going to win. So
that's
what
I'm
saying to people is that, you know, take action now. It's not really any different than, say, stocking up on ammunition or stocking up on emergency food. You know, you better recognize that the American dollar is circling the drain. I don't know if you saw Donald Trump. He was recently on Stuart Varney and his comments that he made. I thought that was rather interesting, and I was a bit disappointed, I must say, that I felt like he had a good opportunity for leadership, to show this kind of leadership. And I think he kind of failed on it. I wanted to ask you what you thought about his comments, if you heard them, that he said that Stuart Varney asked him what he thought about Bitcoin, and he said that, you know, he didn't like the fact that Bitcoin was competing with the American dollar and that he felt like the American dollar should be the currency of the world. And, you know, I appreciate that sentiment, but the missed opportunity there was that there's a reason why Russia dumped the American dollar. There's a reason why El Salvador picked up Bitcoin as legal tender and is dumping the American dollar. And it's because of what the Democrats are doing. They're printing our dollars into oblivion. And, you know, he can have that sentiment that he wants American dollar to be the top currency, but I'm sorry, he's not in charge anymore. You know,
I totally agree with you, Jake. I think Trump said that because any ex-president normally would have to say something of that nature. They can't embrace a quote-unquote foreign digital currency quite yet. He'll have to take the dollar path. So now he might have holdings of his own in Bitcoin we don't know about. I don't know. I know he's sort of dissed it, but I think he was distancing himself from it because he probably thought, if I embrace Bitcoin or cryptocurrency right now, after the market crash, you know, crypto had a big crash, as you and I have talked about every day. And it still crashed, by the way. It's still a sea of red ink.
Yeah.
It'll recover eventually. But Trump doesn't want to be associated with a market crash. So I think from a political standpoint, yeah, as a billionaire, he doesn't want to say, I propose this, and then I can already hear his detractors, and they would say, well, the market just crashed. You're a final one to a top with your $1 billion. You see what I mean?
Right.
So he has to think about the consequences of his actions. That's all. Yeah.
That's very true. And we do have to take that into consideration. But at the same time, big picture, yeah. But I was actually thinking about, like, you know, where we're going to go from here. Like, I think that the Republican governors across our country need to take a page from the Democrat playbook and look at, in particular, I always think about how California, especially in the Trump years, you know, established themselves as a sanctuary state for illegal aliens. And Trump tried to crack down, thankfully. You know, he was putting Americans first. He tried to crack down on that and say, hey, you can't do that. Federal law governs immigration. And California just literally sat there and said, yeah, but we don't recognize federal law. Sorry, we don't. So, you know, a little side note, the Democrats are really the ones who seceded from the Union. You know, the Democrats, again, projecting, they said that the Republicans were, you know, committing an insurrection on January 6th. And really, it's been the Democrats that have committed the insurrection. And the only difference is that they won, you know. And they went and they said, you know, we don't recognize federal law. We're going to do whatever we want with our state. And, you know, likewise in Chicago, the Supreme Court ruled that their anti-gun laws were anti-constitutional. And Rahm Emanuel said, you know, no, I don't recognize the Supreme Court. No, I'm a Democrat. We don't recognize that here. So what I'm saying is Republicans could kind of take a page from that and start going, okay, like, for example, this ridiculous 43% capital gains tax that Biden wants to impose. What if I'm not an expert on this. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm just trying to get the sentiment out. What if a Republican governor said, you know what, in our state, you don't got to pay 43% federal capital gains tax. Now, obviously, the argument's going to be, but that's a federal tax, and the federal agents are going to come after you. But couldn't a Republican governor go, you know what, this is sanctuary for people who don't want to pay capital gains tax. And you know what, if you want to send any of your federal goons to harass one of my citizens, we're going to call it the state police and the state National Guard, and you're not going to harass them. Under my state, if we get a call from one of my citizens that they're being audited from you on something like this, we will send the state police to remove your IRS agents. And if you want to send in the 101st Airborne Division to combat that, then we'll just see how that goes. So by doing that, then we would have a real government agency that is leading the fight and telling the Democrats, hey, if you want to have a civil war, we can have it, buddy. But we're going to have armed individuals. We're going to have the state National Guard, the state police, the state troopers on the side of the citizen. And from that point forward, we can deputize the citizens, and we can have ourselves a real militia show up, and we can just fight it out like that if that's what you want to do. And then see how many people from around the country go, hey, I'm living over here in California. I'm paying 43% capital gains tax. You know what? I'm going to go to Texas or Florida. I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm going to get out of here and get myself some protection. I wonder how many people would flock to that. Now, maybe there's some holes in that plan. Maybe that's fine. But the sentiment, the idea of that kind of leadership, I think, is what we need.
I agree, man.
Because
you know what?
I don't think this is going to end well.
I'm with you, Jake. I think that if you look at the trajectory of America and where we're currently at, I have told people for years in a joking way, in a very serious way, and everything in between, to get prepared, get ready. One thing that we can overtly do instead of always being asymmetrical, is self-balkanized. Move around like-minded people. You can overtly buy weapons right now. You can still buy ammo. You can still buy supplies. You can still beef up your strongholds, your house, wherever you live. Well, there's a lot of things that we can do. On the political front, like what you're saying, I don't see where this is going to end pretty America, and I've said that. I always hope and pray that cooler heads prevail. I hope that miracles happen. I believe in miracles, but I don't believe in political miracles. I believe that those things have a life of their very own. And you're right. If most Americans are waking up to it, the real wokeism that they always talk about in the media needs to be on the right. The right wing needs to really get woke and really be awake and be paying frickin' attention to this stuff. And we're not just talking. This isn't just entertainment, though it is, because I know people learn in different ways. And some people, you know, we can't always be, you know, a lot of people can't handle the seriousness that you, I, or others talk about. They shy away from it. They go, oh, you guys are crazy. You know, as long, a lot of America is like this. They could be a Republican, quote unquote, but as long as they can get their hot pizza and their cold beer and still drive around in their car, they still have a little job to go to, a little Missy back at the ranch to chase around, to chase a skirt. They have a buddy next door they can shoot pool with. They think life's just great. And they think that's anything beyond that little bubble is you're crazy, right? You're a nutcase. You're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. They go, look, they'll always say, I love this statement. They'll say, Jacob, I don't really care what happens unless I'm affected directly. And I've heard that my whole life. And I go, well, someday, bucko, you're going to be affected directly, effing directly.
Yes.
And what the hell are you going to do then? You're going to be so far behind the eight ball. That's why I said this show's the tip of the spear. We are light years, and I mean light years mentally, in front of these people, in front of millions of people. And this is what I talk about, Jake, is that when they really, when those people, they can be good people, nice people. I get it. Ignorance is bliss. I get it. I really do. My point is when those people have the revelation that things aren't quite great in Kansas City anymore and what the hell happened to my country or my job and my neighborhood now is invaded by BLM and Antifa commies, I say, don't come crying to me. Where the hell were you for the last 5, 10, 20 years? You weren't paying attention. Well, cry now.
And they better pay attention.
And my thing is, you better be thinking about this stuff now. Yeah, go ahead.
They better. Because, you know, what we're looking at right now is something called the Great Reset, which I know that you're quite familiar with. And one thing that I've been researching myself is this company known as BlackRock, which is an investment corporation. They're the chief investor in Tesla, and they have been going around buying up houses like hotcakes. I mean, you cannot, as you know, you cannot put a house up for sale. It's closing within hours of hitting the MLS. And
in Las Vegas, especially, right?
Oh yeah, the housing market here is bigger and hotter than it has ever been. The housing prices are at the absolute top of all history. You can sell your
house. And BlackRock is buying up a lot of those houses like in 3 hours, right? Around the Las Vegas area?
For 20% over market value. So what that means is that the average person, if you or I or any of our working neighbors were to just go and say, hey, you know, I finally put some money together. I want to go buy my single family home. You're going to get outbid. And one thing that occurred to me is that, you know, they are taking away the ability of the middle class to own property. That is your key to generational wealth going forward.
Yes.
For the average person, your house is your biggest investment. It's the best investment. It's the American dream is to own that property, and then you pass it on to your kids, and this gives you a huge leg up in, you know, going towards accumulation of wealth. Now, what scares me and what I started thinking about is that, you know, what I'm seeing these corporations do is we are losing our constitutional rights, not from the government, but from these woke corporations. Like, for example, with Facebook or YouTube, you don't really have the freedom of speech of the First Amendment. And then you can't really say, well, hey, this is a constitutional violation, because they say, well, we're a private corporation, we can do whatever we want. So what I'm getting at is BlackRock, which is known to be super woke, by the way, they come in, they buy up all these single family homes, which is a limited asset. Again, good comparison to Bitcoin, right? They're buying up all this, which, by the way, BlackRock expressed a deep interest in getting into Bitcoin. That's a whole other story where, you know, Elon Musk came out and produced a lot of FUD. We're seeing a lot of FUD from Elizabeth Warren and all these other people that are coming out saying, you know, Bitcoin's a disaster for the environment, blah, blah, blah. But they're trying to lower that so that BlackRock can get in on Bitcoin. And at the same time, they're buying up all these single family homes. So what happens if, you know, here you've got all these Americans that have been out of work for over a year. They file for bankruptcy. The bank comes in and forecloses on their home. BlackRock comes in and buys up all homes. Those people that were once able to own a home are now going to be, for the rest of their lives, renters. So what happens if BlackRock eventually goes, you know, we really want to reshape society, and we're going to look at your social credit score besides just your credit score before we rent one of our properties to you. And we're going
and your demographics.
Yeah.
Oh, your white family. Screw you. You can't rent this house. Is there a black or brown family that we can rent to? That's also a Democrat company, from what I've heard. And they will have that ideology, allegedly, at least.
Oh, you're right. Of course. And they're going to look at that and go, maybe we go into your social media and see if, you know, who are you putting up bumper stickers for? Who are you arguing for? In the election, were you voting for Republican? Well, that's going to be some points against you. Maybe you'll have to pay a little more, or maybe we just won't even rent to you. So
it's the new social credit score in America, Jake, you know?
That's right, which is exactly what they have in the Chinese Communist Party. It's the same thing.
No doubt, man.
And,
Jake,
yeah,
let's
– scary.
It is very scary, man. I mean, you know, we're talking about that today, man, and it's around Las Vegas. You're telling me that the house is going 3 hours, folks, and BlackRock is buying up a lot of them, and I'm sure Vegas and other cities too.
Oh, yeah. It's from coast to coast, and it's not just BlackRock. There's a lot of investment corporations, but it scares me to think about it. As you look around, the corporations are bowing, they're bending their knee to China. They're all embracing this woke ideology stuff. And it's just like in China, you can have a corporation in China, you can have a business, but you have to have an office for the Communist Party leader. And that's embedded in every company that's in China. And just like that, here in the United States, we're seeing these diversity offices. And that is
same thing.
The Communist Party member. Yeah, that's exactly the same thing. And
it's code for Communist Party.
BlackRock. Oh, and absolutely. You think that BlackRock doesn't have a diversity officer? They certainly do. So I don't know. I mean, I probably shouldn't make such a blanket statement. I haven't found their website to look that up. But
I bet you're right, because that's the new hot occupation on the internet. I read was the corporate diversity officer in every office in the country, in every corporation. It's not just human resources now. Now they're going to have a diversity officer charged with not only bringing in black or brown workers who, you know, and illegal immigrants, but also what you do on your social media. You can't work there 8 hours a day and go home and say you like Trump or you are in part of a militia. The diversity officer wants to know what you're doing 24 hours a day. And they'll bring up your social media posts the next day at work if they don't like it, if it does not comply with their Marxist agenda.
And for all the listeners out there, all these people that are concerned about the trajectory of our country like we are, they better realize that the war is on your ability to own property. That is one of the defining characteristics of the Western culture, and what America got right was that the average person could get out there and own property. That's literally the definition of the American dream. And, you know, I'm encouraging people, get property, get a house. If you have a house, do not sell it. Whatever you have to do, you better keep it. And if you can get some Bitcoin, even if it's 0.01, 1% of a Bitcoin, you better get it. Because I noticed that with Elizabeth Warren's latest media crusade, we haven't heard from her in a year. All of a sudden, she pops her head out from under whatever rock she was hiding, and she's screaming about Bitcoin. And it was real interesting to hear what she had to say, interesting and that I'm laughing at her for being an idiot. But she was saying that, Bitcoin is an environmental disaster, which is total FUD, as you know. And she says, you know, it's so volatile that, you know, the average person could really get hurt. Hey, if you don't want to invest in it, don't. You know, why does she suddenly come out and saying, well, we've got to regulate this? Why? Because she doesn't want you to own it. Because it's digital property. They don't want the average American owning property, because that is where the backbone of the middle class lies. And if they can destroy the middle class, then they can implement communism, no problem. Because if you own nothing, you'll beg for something. And they can control everything.
That's right. Jake Vegas, folks. Great intel report from the Vegas Strip. Jake, we definitely new part two this month of your rendition. Love talking to you, man. Appreciate you out
too.
There on the Vegas Strip. And love you, man. And hope you're doing well. And you're right. Thanks, buddy. Thanks a lot, Jake.
All right.
Have a great night, sir.
All right. Thanks. Have a good night.
You know it. Thanks, man. Jake Vegas, great patriot out to there, folks. And he has got some great points of view. I wanted to have a long interview with him tonight and go over a lot of things that he had to say that are very important. A lot of the West drives the country financially, culture-wise. What happens in Los Angeles, Phoenix, Scottsdale, which is a big hub in this country, or Las Vegas and others, you know, Portland, Seattle, et cetera, tends to emanate and go throughout the entire country as well. Great points to ponder there. And we got to get to another caller here. They've been on hold for a while, and they've got some great intel for me. And let's shoot over to them very quickly. That was let's get them on the line here on our Pirate Radio show. Get them on the horn. Yes, hi, you're on the Von Wien show. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes, Patrick the Patriot.
How you doing, Vaughn?
Hey, doing good. Doing great, man.
Hey, you know, I saw my first impeach Biden sticker poster today. 59th Avenue in Thunderbird.
You had some great intel for us, man. I want
to
hear all about
a source in Dallas, Texas. So, did you know there is a bill in Congress, $4 billion, to discourage migration to the U.S. of A.?
They're supposedly, sure.
Central American countries.
Sure.
And that was one of the reasons that Kamala was in Guatemala. Doesn't that rhyme?
Right.
Kamala.
Right.
Guatemala.
And there were people that were, well, that's called camel toe Kamala. That's why they were
what?
Down there. The trunk were in Guatemala telling her to go home.
Well,
and she told
my,
them to stay home.
Yeah.
Classic.
Even my retired colonel father said, I don't think that Guatemalan president liked her. I said, have you ever heard of Machismo? Because, no, what's that? I go, well, in that part of the world, men are the kings and the women are second-class citizens. So they don't respect
That's
her.
That's right. That's
they
right.
They do not respect her. And most of the world do not respect her because everyone knows she's over her head. She is not qualified to do anything.
Exactly. She's not in... She basically, we all know how she got up there. Okay, I'll leave that alone for the moment. But she's obviously the most, she's the most unintelligent, worst vice president in American history. And she'll go down as such, I think, once this term or if it even goes to conclusion.
I didn't really mean. I was at this training at a hotel, and the air conditioning unit was not working adequately.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wearing knee pads. I said, "Are those autographed by Kamala Harris?"
That's awesome, man. I can always count on you, Patrick, for some great levity for the show, man. Awesome, awesome. Now you had some big intel you wanted to tell us, for some big revelations.
First he said 430 million was the bill in Congress that you won't hear about on the media. But then I started doing some research on however you pronounce that, Reuters.com and in America Magazine, and they talked about $4 billion. But it's just a lot of money just to, okay, so, and then I asked him, I said, well, what happens to the 2 million that are already here that cross the border? Where are they going to go? Because, you know, they were put up for free in Texas, right? And even in Scottsdale, you heard that story, right? They had one hotel on Scottsdale Road that is dedicated to all the illegal aliens that are here.
Yes, I heard about that. Unbelievable,
I mean, that's
man.
In our backyard, Vaughn.
I know. They're giving away the country street by street, brick by brick. And this will not end well, America. They can look. I always say, you know, the Patriots have a long fuse, but when it's lit, and the white male, there's a big war on the white male in this country. And the white males are historically famous for having a long fuse. But boy, baby, when it's lit, it's white hot. And it stays hot for a long time. So they should be very, 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 very careful what they do. We're watching them. We're watching every move they make, buddy.
This morning at 7 a.m., you know, you got to get out where it's cool. I was talking to a guy who was in the 82nd Airborne Division. And he says, Vaughn, the tide will turn next year because people are going to be not happy. He goes, you're going to watch. We're either going to have total chaos or the Congress and the Senate are going to turn red like a red tide.
Because I believe it.
Just fed up. People are fed
up. I believe it. Well, a lot of them are bought off by China now. Sure they are.
And they see the pathological liars there standing in front of us, in front of a camera, and then they put them on the, you know, the big screens. Oh, they're such good speakers. No. I mean,
no,
Vaughn,
I'm with you.
If someone was paying you, what, you know, from 10 to 40 million, you know, Vaughn, we got this offshore Caribbean account for you. So you just talk as much BS as you want and come down to the Caribbean and you'll be living like a king.
That's what they promise them. Sure. Absolutely. That's what they say. A lot of those guys have sold their soul. Like I said in my monologue, we have a lot of Benedict Arnolds. Hint, hint. Listen to what I say. A lot of Benedict Arnold. We all know who he was. Treasonous general in the Revolutionary War. Well, I don't mince words. I think there's a lot of Benedict Arnolds up there right now. And I think when revelations come down, when shoes drop, look, I would tell them, you know, when these things come out, and if you're on the wrong side of history, watch out, buddy. Just watch out, because right now the American people's patience with them is very short, very short. And we saw that during January the 6th, right? And we're not going to put up with a lot of their crap. Right now, everyone's in the proper stance and mode. We're watching, we're paying attention, and we are taking notes. And that is a good place to be. We're a lion on the African safari, and we're watching the jackals play.
The other thing, the guy from the 82nd Airborne who served, who I thanked him for his service, is he said that we need to do a clean sweep, Vaughn, DOJ, CIA, FBI.
I agree.
There needs to be a clean sweep. Like, we're starting over. And I wish someone was like Teddy Roosevelt, and they would swing the big stick, even take the aluminum bat and bust up these tech companies that have a monopoly.
They do.
Have competition. Have competition, right? Have incubators, right? Because I remember when I lived in Houston, Texas, there was an incubator who was sponsored by NASA that these startup companies, which one I worked for, the Laser Professor, we were in there, and it was very low rent, and we had this PhD who didn't know jack, if you know what I mean, but yet she was
right.
The administrator for this. But she had never started a company. She had never worked in the private sector, but yet she was the administrator.
God. Pathetic. Yeah. That is the nature of America with a K, as I call it, for effect.
And I'm going to share
this is all coming to a head,
Vegas.
My friend. I've heard about it before. You know, it's all coming to a head. There's a lot of weird, weird intel I've gotten this last couple of weeks. People that do not call a show, people you do not know, weird stuff on the military front, on the space front, on all kinds of fronts that are out there. And a lot of people, I understand, they go, look, I don't want to go on. I don't want anyone to hear my voice. I can't go on the air. I beg them, at least in a figurative sense, to come on the air. I'm encouraging them, come on, man. I want to get you on the air. I want people to hear it from you, the horse's mouth. If they hear it from me, they may discount it to some extent. As I said, so when I tell you these are sources that don't want to be divulged. They are in deep, 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 deep cover. And so I go, okay, I've tried to get more people to come on. Right now we live in a climate, too, Patrick, where a lot of people are afraid to come on talk radio. One of the biggest comments I have is people say, hey, I hear a lot of the same callers. I go, well, I have very active, awesome, regular callers who we love and I'd love to put them on the air because they always have something very cool and interesting to say like yourself. I go, we know. Just by the ISP, you know, all the addresses there on the internet, we know there's tens of thousands of people listening right now. We're a nationwide show. We're in 15 countries, my God. And now we're in Greece. Thank you, Greece. Greece likes me. And so we're just spiking there in Greece, where they have a lot of political problems and economic problems. So what I'm saying is that a lot of people, most people, the nature of talk radio is they listen and they never call. Now, I'm guilty of it, too. I've listened to shows for 20 years, never called in once. For example, I never called in once to the Rush Limbaugh show. Once I tried and it was busy, I said, this guy's probably got 10,000 calls coming in. I'll never get through. And that's how most people think. Now, on my show, we have it engineered where we have a call board right now. It's full. We're going to crank out these calls here in the next segment. I want to give everybody a chance for a 5-minute spiel, and we may go into overtime tonight because Jake had so many things to say. He's been so busy out there in Vegas.
Well, Vaughn,
but there's a lot of intel.
I'm
telling you, Patrick, it's crazy, man. It comes
in
droves,
buddy.
Can I
follow up with what Jake in
Absolutely.
Vegas is talking about how hot real estate market is?
Yeah.
Okay, I had a client. We listed their home last Thursday, actually Friday, right? So over the weekend,
right.
We had four offers, and they were 10, 15, 20% over the listing price of $349,000 for a 1,500-square-foot, three-bedroom, two-bath.
Wow. Yeah, that's a hot market, man.
And one was from an offer from a LLC, and I mean, and I have been told that even insurance companies are looking at buying single family homes that they're going to turn into vacation rental by owner because everything's going to open back up, especially California is supposed to happen June 15th works. It's like open season again.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, and they've got the money to make those kind of moves. Hey, Patrick, thank you for calling the show, man. Appreciate you, bud.
Vaughn, appreciate you. Have a blessed night. Stay safe.
Thank you, man. Folks, it's Patrick the Patriot calling from his secret location somewhere in Phoenix. He has something great to say. He's a big real estate guy. He knows the real estate market, let me tell you. And Charles Bronson knows a lot about the Von Wiehent Show and Donald Trump.
We've had 8 years of Barack Obama. Now we've had 4 years of Donald J. Trump. And for the 8 years, we've asked people their best opinion about what the president had done, and what we could come up with most of our questionnaires were, 8 years is a long time to be failing. That's why they're saying, vote Donald J. Trump in 2020. It's the only decision that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, and Trump did win the election. We all know that, but it was stolen from him. The war in white male still escalates inside America. Biden uses the Tulsa massacre of last week, that anniversary, to push a new blood libel against white Americans in the suburbs. So he attacks them daily from the Oval Office with his comments or his omissions or just everything he says seems to go against you. And look, we want everyone in America to do well. I've said that time and time again. But you're not going to isolate us, and you're not going to attack us and get away with it. We're going to call you out, and we have no problem doing that. We have balls of steel, and we have a spine on this show, and we have the cojones to back up what we say. A lot like the Dice Man back in the day. Remember this guy?
Right here for the wide, wide world of sports is Andrew Dice Clay. Oh! And I'm taking over for Howard Cosell in interviewing Mr. Ali right before the Von Wiehent Show. And Mr. Ali, nice to have you here today. How you doing, huh?
I'm doing pretty good, Andrew. It's good to see you, too. I can't believe that Cosell is not here anymore. Last time I talked to him, I thought we did pretty good. I thought we were having a fun time.
Yeah, that's because you were trying to grab the toupee off the top of his head. He kind of wigged out about the grabbing the wig thing.
I didn't know. Well, you know, I kind of knew something, but I had a feeling anyway. It's just kind of the game that we play.
Yeah, so I know. Hey, to be the greatest athlete in all the world, what does it take, huh?
Well, Andrew, it takes commitment. It takes focus. It takes drive. It takes a dream. It takes somebody pretty like me. Somebody who can float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, take them out in round number three, and do it with all the style that I've got. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Dice Clay?
I can dig it. You know what I'm saying? I can dig it, Ali. You're the best. You really are. I love it. And I got to tell you, I had a great laugh when you grabbing the wig off Howard Cosell's head. I couldn't take it. I think you're the best. Why did you do it anyway?
Oh, because, you know, it was just there for the taking.
You're unbelievable.
Well, thank you very much. And let's get on to the Von Wiehent Show. He a champion too, wouldn't you say?
He's great. Unbelievable. You crack me up.
Love that. Folks, if you want to call in tonight, 563-999-3437. The phone board is filled up. We'll get to all that in a moment. We want America to do well. We know America is a shining city on the hill that Reagan talked about, but we have lost a lot of that in the last 20 or 30 years. We're looking at potential Chinese invasion, civil war, civil unrest, possible martial law, possible UN invasion. There's all kind of threats against America. We want it to be a beautiful world. Wouldn't you agree? Oh, yeah. It's a beautiful world out there. And with that, we got a lot of calls. I want you to, guys, limit it to 5 minutes. I'll give you the floor. Let's go right to the gunslinger out there in Texas. Gunslinger, you're on the air, my friend. How are you?
Well, you know, like I said, again, just watching my country go to hell in a handbasket. Okay.
No doubt.
It's a sad situation, no doubt. You know, with this, the white people, okay, and I'm white to the tip of my head, to the tip of my toenails, okay, always been.
God forbid.
Always will. Yeah, God forbid. But you've seen these videos on YouTube, you know, these people of different colors attacking white people out of just evilness, I guess.
Sure.
Remember that one? At the gas station, and this big old colored person comes out there. Looks like
I saw that.
And starts beating.
That guy in California. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And just started beating up on this white girl and didn't even know him. Just this random acts of violence. Okay.
Yeah, this white girl was gassing up, folks, and the black guy gets out of his van and just starts pummeling her for no provocation, no reason, no rhyme or reason. Right.
And what about the Amazon driver, the one that was beating up on that elderly lady, okay? I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, it's like the Rambo, you know. I didn't start it. You know, they drew first blood. And this is what it's fixing to come down to. I hate to say it. I don't anything like this in this country. But these people are doing this. They're the ones starting this. And like you said a while ago, you know, when the fuse hits that white dynamite, I don't want to be standing in front of the fence, okay? You know what happens?
Oh, they better watch out. It'll be white hot. It will be, and it won't win. One thing about the white male that I tell people is we're not always quick or emotional to anger. We can be like that. Don't get me wrong. But normally the whites in general – have a long fuse normally, but I tell you one thing: when the fuse is lit, when they're really pissed off, we go for the throat, and we don't stop until it's done, baby. Look back in history, okay? If you don't think that the fluoride in our water has changed much, no, people are still people. Look at the Crusades. Look at the Civil War, where the white Southerners, for again, right, wrong, or indifferent, said, "Screw you. We're going to raise an army, and we're going up there to kick your ass, Mr. North." Okay, again, right, wrong, or indifferent. And then Lincoln, on his side, did the same thing. Look at the Third Reich. Look at the Crusades. Look at all these wars and proxy wars, Vietnam, Korea. America, when this country was young, was virile, and we were very warlike, and still are in many ways, but these people, in my view, they're playing with fire, and if you play with fire, you get burned. Your thoughts, sir?
In that situation, yes. You're not necessarily going to get burned. You're going to get fried, okay? Because, that, again, referencing that one out in California at the gas station, if that was me, I've got a 10-foot radius rule that I go by. You start walking toward me, you're going to be dead in 9 foot 11 inches. Okay, no doubt about it. And I will reload for my speed loaders. Okay, because these people are—I don't know. I guess it's ignorance. I'm sorry, but it's not my fault that they're that stupid. But if you want to go out there and you want to start something, you better have a bigger gun than I got, and better know how to use one better than I know. And I've been around guns my entire life, and I'm 57 years old. Okay? It's going to get bad. I mean, I don't – it's just – this is crazy. I have never seen anything like this. Okay? These people like that are
weird?
It's weird.
It's almost like – look, it's their agenda. They have an axe to grind. And they're – I warned people. I said, self-balkanize. Get ready. Get trained. Get your gear. Been preaching that. Not again, I don't want anything to happen. I really don't. And I'm hoping that we can avert this avalanche or this tidal wave coming at us. But I'm not sure we're going to be able to. And like I always tell folks is, you don't have to instigate or start anything. We're peace-loving on my show. But The other side is not. The other side, I know they always, remember, the leftists always overplay their hand. They always do, historically. And they will be the ones who will start everything. They will draw first blood. They will do these things. They already have. And they'll be doing a lot more of it. And when these things happen organically in various cities and towns and suburbs or whatever, I tell people, don't call my show and complain. Don't call my show and look for sympathy. I mean, I've warned people before, get ready, because you don't know the time or the hour, like the Lord says, right? You don't know. And if you think you know, you're wrong. You do not know the time or the hour of the attack, the time or the hour of anything. And a lot of things, yes, there's intel, but a lot of these things will happen organically, like that situation that you're talking about. I mean, I saw the video. And again, they don't need provocation, folks. They don't need anything. Again, I don't care on one level. I really don't care if you're black, brown, purple, white, or yellow. Stay out of my business. Stay out of my neighborhood. Don't be bothering me of whatever ilk you're from. And I'll do the same for you. But when they encroach, and right now the left likes to encroach, don't they? And I watch their tactics. Their tactics are to go into your neighborhood, throw a rock through your window, gain entry, and kill you. Or ransack your house. That's coming. You know, so be ready, people. I mean, the rhetoric from the militant left is, you know, that's what they say. And I take them at their word. I do not discount it. I listen to people that say they want to kill you, and I take them at their word. And that's how I've always operated. I take them seriously, and I prepare accordingly. And then I plot against them. How about those apples?
Absolutely. You cannot. If somebody's going to threaten you, you just can't just blow it off. Okay. I mean,
no,
sure,
you can't.
Sure, you can. They can sit there and cuss at you and call you every stinking word in the book. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. You know. Big deal. You can't use deadly force against them for that. But if they start approaching you in a aggressive manner. Okay, that's when the day and night differs right there. Okay, they're becoming an aggressor, especially here in Texas. Thank God we have the Castle Doctrine, and now we got constitutional carry and all that stuff right now. Or here in Texas, it's long overdue, but I'm afraid it's going to be put to use pretty soon. I mean, because we're a border state, just like Arizona is a border state. And all these people coming across, you know, necessarily the Mexicans, everybody else, you know, and they're not looking for work. They're bringing their drugs, their crime, all this garbage over. And it's just going to add to the fire out with the gasoline. It ain't going to do you any good, okay? And it's only going to get worse,
right?
Because they're the ones stroking it. If they keep their freaking mouth shut, including the blacks, okay, and then forget about this, well, we got to have representation for slavery and all this crap. Ain't nobody today that was alive back then, okay? Or anybody alive today was alive back then. Come on, really? I mean, how stupid can you get? Lock and load one of these days. Go ahead.
It's pathetic, man. Gunslinger, thank you so much, buddy. We appreciate you out there in the great state of Texas. Keep that powder dry, brother.
Absolutely.
Have a great night. Gunslinger, out there in Texas, it may sound like this.
All right, folks. Calm down. Go about your business. These jokers will be gone soon. Now, why y'all want to come into my town and start trouble? And scare all these nice people? You ain't got nothing better to do than to come into Bill Sharp's town and show your ass.
The future of America. Let's go to Lincoln in Flyover Country. Then Irish Pirate, then Paul the Gladiator in that order. Let's get to Lincoln here. How's it going, buddy?
Hey, Vaughn. How's it going, brother?
Good, brother. How are you tonight, man, and your crew out there? What's happening? A lot going on.
I'm good, man. Like, last time I talked to you, I've been dealing with a fever for a few days and stuff. I was pretty much dealing with a fever up and down from, like, Tuesday until Friday. Well, guess what I didn't do? I didn't put on a mask. I didn't get some stupid vaccine. I wasn't scared of some bullshit COVID. You know what I did? I ate a lot of vitamin C, took some over-the-counter shit, and guess what? Saturday morning, I woke up feeling like $1 million. Me and the boys got together Saturday, went for a hike, practiced some survival skills, went to a racetrack Saturday night, drank some beer, passed out some pro-white pamphlets, flyers, put up some stickers, things like that. Had a hell of a good time.
Good for you, man. Absolutely. Hell yeah. Get out there with the boys, do some target shooting, learn some survival skills. Hell, that's very valuable, valuable stuff, man. And, yeah, have a little fun, blow a little, and, you know, watch what's happening in your local community. Get out there, watch a few games or a race, get together. That's what it's about, man. We have to stay a little loosey-goosey in these weird times. Keep your sanity and have fun. Stay well. And, by the way, you're right, Lincoln, about vitamin C. I tell people vitamin C is one of the best things that you can ingest. I've got vitamin C tablets, but I go through 3 or 4 jugs of Minute Maid vitamin C every week. I am constantly drinking vitamin C. I get like 3-4 glasses of pure orange juice every morning. I have, knock on wood, I have not been sick. I never get the flu. I never get a cold. I'm healthy as a horse, taking care of myself. But I'm firmly convinced 2 things, guys, that are going to really help you. Thin that blood with that baby orange aspirin every other day, which I take, and just pop it in, tastes good, and then drink that orange juice, take your vitamins. Those 3 things right there, simple things, over the counter, will alleviate, will keep at bay a lot of these little viruses and diseases and other kinds of crap that they're manufacturing to enter your bloodstream, right? So got to fight them back, man.
Yeah, I hadn't been sick in 10 years, man. That was my first time in probably 10 years. I knew I'd get over it. I did. I woke up Saturday morning for like $1 million, man. We went out in the woods. We practiced some. I taught some boys like, you know, some basic shelter building, some snaring, how to, you know, snare rabbits, things like that. And, you know, one of my guys, he's listening right now. He goes by the name of Luther after the great William Luther Pierce. But he wanted me to call in tonight. He's scared to call in. He wanted me to call in tonight and he wanted me to tell you something, and he said that I absolutely hate when I hear a conservative say, I don't agree with what they say, but I'll fight to the death for their right to say it. He said, he went on to say, where in the hell did that get us other than this slippery slope we're on? And then he went on to say, I myself will fight to the death to shut that shit down, not sit in my bedroom and pretend like it doesn't happen. Anyway,
he wanted
me to say that.
I Luther, thank you, man. I agree 1,000%. And that's a great line, and that's a great quote from Luther there in Missouri. No, he's right. I mean, we have to get over this silly notion that everybody's logical and we're not on the same political mental plane in this country. The people that are our enemies, they use high tech and low tech against you. They are at war with you. They're at war with the white males of this country, especially, and the white females too. For our ladies that are out there, our patriot ladies, and anybody who calls themselves a patriot. But the thing is, to say that you're going to fight to the death, when they attack you, and you're saying that you're going to fight to the death so they can attack you, is the most insane, asinine, back-ass word political ideology or philosophy I've ever heard. I cringe, to be honest with you, when I hear that. Cringe. I just go, I know right away, Lincoln, I'm around a cuck conservative, and I just cringe, and I go, you're a moron.
I told him he's right.
Yeah. When your foxhole is attacked, you're the kind of guy that says, hey, we're over here, shoot us. that's about
I'm gonna fight
the level
to the death
of
for you to indoctrinate my kid to be transgender.
Yeah, I'm going to fight to the death for you to invade my suburbs. I'm going to fight to the death for you to teach my kids Marxism. I'm going to fight to the death because it's your freedom of speech. These people have taken the liberties and freedoms to a whole different level, man. I mean, bizarre. I call it bizarro world. That's not what that means. Freedom of speech means that you have the freedom to shout that person down. And these guys don't exercise. See, that's the problem with the right. They don't exercise, keyword, exercise your freedoms, boys. We have the freedom of free speech. We can shout people down. They're trying to outlaw that. We have the freedom to buy guns and ammo. They're trying to outlaw that. The more we exercise our freedoms like a muscle, the better off we're going to be. So you going out there and exercising your freedoms and liberties to teach and train, I love it. Love it. We need 1,000 more Lincolns that are out there. We need 1,000 more of my callers. If I could clone you, I would, you know?
You know something that's surprising, man? When me and the boys were out passing out some, like, pro-white flyers and things like that, it actually kind of surprised me. Well, it surprised me and it kind of disheartened me at the same time. You know who was the most receptive to those flyers and who was the most interested in the material that we were handing people? I mean, simple things like White Lives Matter, simple things like No White Guilt, things like that. You know who was the most receptive
sure.
to that? It was kind of shocked me. It wasn't white men. It was actually white women who were like, wow, I agree. Like, do you have a website? And I'm like, well, no, we don't have a website yet. We're working on one, kind of, but we don't have one. They're like, oh, do you have, like, a business card? Like, no, we don't have a business card yet, really. We're just trying to, you know, spread a message, whatnot. And they're like, well, do you have a couple more I can give to my friends? I'm like, white women were actually more responsive than white men, which was kind of surprising and kind of disheartening as far as men go, but kind of, you know,
I agree. I agree.
Like,
well,
as
the
far as white women.
Yeah, the white women, and I've talked about our patriot women. They're down for the count. A lot of the white men, I think, the last 20 years have bought into that conservative philosophy, which Luther specifically said, and I cringe at. I'll fight for your right to talk against me and to attack me. I will go on record, folks. I will not fight to the death to give you the right to attack me. Just so you know, that's my position. I will not fight to the death to give you the right to attack me. I will attack you back.
That's what I'm going
to
die on.
I'm not going to die on that hill. And a lot of the men, I think, like to sound like they, again, it's the big tent theory, blah, blah, blah. We're all in this together. It's kind of a Republican version of kumbaya. Look, the people that come to your suburb or to your house, your street, when they say come out in the street, and if you don't go, now they say, well, you're a racist, right? Because you aren't walking out in the street with them. You're not joining hands with them. That pisses them off. And so I say, screw you guys. Go back where you came from. You don't live around here. Get the hell out of here. You don't live here. This is not your neighborhood. It's a residential area. So F you guys and get out of here. And we need more people like that.
N-N-Z.
The F out of our neighborhood. Right. You don't live here. What gives you the right? See, this is the left thinks they have the right to walk into any neighborhood in America and call you out or say you must come out. And if you don't, their straw man argument is if you don't, aha, we got you. You're now a racist. You're now a this. You're now a this. Right. That's how they play. So they set it up, and they march into all these neighborhoods. They've already done it all over the country, and they'll be interviewed by the police, and they go or by the media, and they say, well, you know, we're walking in there. All we want to do is for them to join hands with us. When they don't join hands with us, we know what we're dealing with. It's sort of their Marxist. It's a slippery Marxist argument. In other words, you don't belong here. You don't live here. You don't live in the zip code, so get the F out of here. I don't go into your neighborhood and do that, but you know what? We may have to eventually. But see, that's how they think. That's the template. And yeah, so the white women, I'm glad to see that they're on top of that. Look, this is the natural progression, folks, of when you attack whites for years. This is nothing new, right? Lincoln, that means it's been going on for years. So when you keep attacking the white males, which is the white females, the white children, you can expect people to be handing out flyers saying, hey, no white guilt. We're not going to put up with this. There's going to be a backlash. There's going to be a backlash, and it's a political backlash. And I always say, two can play at that game. So good for you. Screw them. And I'm glad that you're getting some positive feedback from that, because you know what? It's about time. They are the fastest to put out flyers saying, kill Whitey. We need reparations from Whitey. We want a suburb tax. We want to indoctrinate your children. They want to pass laws against homeschooling, or they want to Section 8 your suburbs. So two can play at that game. And you have to be able to recognize an attack as an attack going forward. Your final thoughts, Lincoln.
Well, I got two quick things real quick. Like, there's going to be one day next month. Pay attention to Gab. There's going to be one day next month. We are going to see we're in contact with other groups around the nation. You're going to see some banner drops on overpasses coming up, I'll say, like about a month or so, with similar message, things like that. And the last thing I got, man, and then I'll let you go, I know you're short on time, is let's please get over this argument that Democrats were the Confederates. Are we really going to pretend like the Confederates were the party of Black Lives Matter, transgender, everything? Are we going to really pretend that the last people in this country to fight for white people is the party of Black Lives Matter? Let's get over the whole Democrats were Confederates bullshit, because it's stupid. It sounds stupid. It makes no sense. I hate that argument. It's ridiculous. So yeah, I can go on about that forever. I'm kind of pissed off when I get on that topic.
We
should probably just stop there, man, because the whole argument's stupid.
It is. It is. Lincoln, thanks so much, Ben. Have a great night out there, buddy. Appreciate you, man.
Have a good night, brother.
You bet. Thank you, brother. It's Lincoln out there, folks, in Missouri. This great crew of cadre of guys, and they go out there and they do things and they meet people. Look, I've always said, if you're a Democrat, you can expect the political backlash. Well, no one's going to sit here and be attacked verbally and in Hollywood, in the media constantly. You should fully expect this to happen. And it is happening. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. And with that, let's go to another call. We're going to have the Gladiator clean up. Let's go to my tech wizard, Irish Pirate, who, by the way, sent me three fun packs full of wonderful audio for the show. Irish, you know you've been on hold for a while. How are you doing, man? Are you still there?
Oh, yeah. I'm on top of the hill looking down. Matter of fact, tonight, so in ways annoying, I went to the highest spot I could get to on my compound so I could look way down on everything else that's going on.
Nice. Nice, man.
Of the recent stuff you guys are talking about, Southern culture, which I brought up two phone calls ago, was eliminated whenever possible by the North. When they encountered no resistance at times when, you know, then they ransacked cities and whatnot, they went after the people
yes.
that they knew could not defend themselves, and they absolutely looked for everything they could to destroy the ability to maintain their wealth and the ability to maintain their culture of the South. They didn't give a darn about anything else. It wasn't about beating up their warfare and including the South in what the North had. They had to eliminate the idea of states' rights. They had to eliminate the idea of religion-first government. Absolutely didn't want it. And that's what they were after. It was later on that they turned around and said, oh, it was all about slavery. Give me a break. So anyway, that's
right.
Number two.
So true.
Number two, I may disagree with what you say as long as you're only going to say it. The moment you call me out, okay, now you're invading my peace, okay? The moment that you're invading my peace, you're not saying it, you're acting on it. All I'm saying is, hey, feel free. free to say what you want to say. Number one, I'll crush you in a debate because you got no idea what the hell you're talking about. So let's get that out in the open. I'd rather you say it. But then when you act on it, you might end up very dead. You know, like, for example, being 9 feet, 11 inches away from Gunslinger might take that take care of that. But if you act on it, you're a hypocrite. You're likely, when it's a political thing, if you're a cuck, you're going to end up dead because you have no idea what you're talking about.
These people are serious. So you're going to end up dead. Absolutely.
So I'm saying go ahead and say it. And say it loud and say it clear so we can avoid you, so we can actually get into defense mode and say, get away from that guy. They're crazy. And if they act on it, oh, yeah, they're going to find out that they don't have a majority and we disagree with them. So anyway, that's part of that. And on a similar hypocrisy note,
yes.
If it was all about being an American, amazing how the people that cross the border illegally versus the ones that cross over legally, it's amazing how deep they have to go, how deep away from the border the illegals have to go. They have to keep going. Why? Because they're getting kicked out by the people that we look up to, which are the legal aliens that want to be Americans, that are immediately accepted by their communities, regardless of color and creed. We love the people that come here legally and want to work shoulder to shoulder with us. Because
we have no problem with that. Exactly.
Yeah. And
right.
So all I'm saying is,
come here to work. Yeah. Come here to build up America, build up our country. Don't come here and point fingers in my face or your face and detract from it. That's where the problem is. That's that Marxist ideology.
Really,
and
it gets
screw
really
them
weird
if they
when
see
there's
that.
Like a Spanish-speaking station in Minnesota. Okay, something doesn't make sense there. And that's because the people that did that had to go so deep because everybody was rejecting them everywhere they could have stopped. So that's what I'm going to say about that. Another dichotomy.
God.
Is whiteness both communicable and inherent? I don't think it can be both at the same time. You guys keep talking, but I don't understand a word you say. Matter of fact, I don't even believe in quote-unquote whiteness. You came up with that term. Nowhere in any history before 2020 that I can see is there a concept of whiteness. So where did you get it? Because it certainly didn't come from history or culture or anything else. You made it up, and we're still laughing at you. Okay? By the way, another dichotomy. Both China and the U.S. government are claiming they cannot feed their people, which means
– that's right.
I guess the ultimate – yeah, if their governments can't feed their people, their ultimate solution is we go to war with each other and kill them off. And the answer is, I'm not going to participate in that stupid garbage. You guys go to war with each other someplace else. You know, do it like we do the Super Bowl. Go have it in a neutral site so that way we don't have to clean up the bodies or take any shrapnel. If you guys want to have it out, you know, we'll find a night. You know, go do it in Antarctica or something. Don't do it here.
Gosh,
we got better things to do than fight your war for you, okay? We don't want that. Oh, and by the way, final dichotomy. Does it matter if you get a government check or work for your money? Because I'll give you a hint. I got a female friend of mine that did the right thing. First, she took the check. Why? Because she was looking for a job she wanted to keep. Then she went out and found it. It was one of those big corporations. I'll even give the name Honeywell.
Mm-hmm.
And then Honeywell turned around and laid everybody off, for the most part, including. And then they gave a whole bunch of golden checks to a bunch of people to stay out. You know, extra severance and whatnot. She didn't take it. She said, nope, I want to get rehired. She's doing it 100%. She made the correct decision every single time. Number one, took the money to reevaluate where she was at. She had to get out of the current job, which is very similar to some of the things I was doing. As a matter of fact, that's how I met my friend. And then, then she turned around and said, I need to be employable because that way I can influence my work culture. That's one thing we need to do. If you have a job and they're coming down on you saying, we want you all to wear masks, you tell them, why? Now you have this thing called resistance in your workplace. Don't let them tell your workplace what to do. I mean, we have OSHA stuff like that. I mean, there were a lot of federal regulations before 2020 that said your workplace has to be safe. Your workplace has to be so that you can do your job. And suddenly they want to change that. And the answer is rebel. Don't let it happen.
God.
And
that's right. Irish, thank you so much, man. And
oh,
we
yeah.
are the real resistance in America. You know that. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, man.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
The Irish Pirate, our tech wizard, great caller. Love those points he had tonight. We got to get a new last-minute caller came in before we get to Paul the Gladiator. Let's hear what they have to say. It better be good. Hello, you're on the Von Wien Show. What is your name?
I would be JD.
JD. Oh, man. This is like the last couple of minutes of our show, buddy, but sound off, man.
Tell
Love you, man.
Where do you want to go first? Where do you want me to go first?
Well, we're in overtime
right now.
But my show theme is the warm white males in America. And it's a great show.
Here's a white male Christian news flash for you. Mike Lindell is the frickin' warrior. He is a warrior.
Yes, he is.
Among warriors. He has just come out and said that he is going to rent a huge stadium, invite every white hat hacker that wants to come to examine the evidence he has that will be capable of pulling down this fraudulent election. After everyone has seen that, and it has been distributed everywhere in the world, then he's going to take this package of evidence and drop it on the steps of the Supreme Court through a legal vehicle that I cannot remember the name of. And then he claims that it will be a 9-0 revocation of the current fraudulent president's tenure. And he is sure of this. He is so sure of this. I've never seen any man so sure of it. He said his evidence is not subjective. It's objective evidence. All they have to do is see it, and that's the proof. So, and everybody say, well, why don't you release it now? Because nobody cares, and everybody's been conditioned by the media to believe that there's nothing that can be done in spite of the 1877 law that states that anytime there's something happened that can be proved that an election was counted wrong or whatever, there's supposed to be a 5-person panel from the House, from the Senate, and from the, what's the third branch? I think from the judiciary. And they're supposed
right.
to conduct an audit of no less than 48 hours in length of evidence that's presented to them. You know, I don't know if any of this is going to go down, but one thing's for sure, Von Wiehunt, is it's not over. And even if this doesn't come to anything, they're not going to be able to steal 22 or 24 or start a civil war because everyone's wising up in the light of all the coronavirus
yes.
hoax and all the crap that they're pulling and Fauci and Gates and Schwab and the Rothschilds and all the rest of them are going down, baby. And now we have 80% Republicans that know it was stolen. We have 40% Democrats that know it was stolen. That is a majority, maybe almost a supermajority of voters in the United States that know 2020 was stolen. It will not stand. I have now ticked my hope meter up to 25%.
Yes.
What say you?
Yes, I agree, man. The Patriots are going to speak. We want to get you on next week for a VIP guest at the 8:30 time slot. We'll have a lot more time to talk. JD, folks, and tell them how can they reach you and your show, buddy, your great show.
Well, it's Article 5 Live on all your legacy social media platforms, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and all the rest at 8 p.m. Sunday night, Mountain Standard Time. That is 8 Pacific Daylight Time and 11 Eastern Daylight Time. So 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time every Sunday night. It's Article 5 Live with yours truly, JD. And thanks for having me on, and God bless, and keep the faith, brother.
You know it. Thank you, JD. Folks, the host of Article 5 Live, JD, we're so
thankful to have him on our show tonight. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. Have a great night to you and yours. Love it. Great points by JD. My God. Time permitting, he'll be in our show, VIP, for next week. And we'll talk more in depth about everything. And love JD, man. That's great. Glad he called in tonight. We're going to get to Paul the Gladiator here in a second, a brief comment. The French president was slapped in the face this week by a French man shouting, "Down with Macron." Two men have been arrested after a major security incident at a political event in southeast France on Tuesday. French President Emmanuel Macron was in La Drôme, where he met with the restaurant and some local business owners just ahead of, quote-unquote, easing COVID-19 restrictions. He was slapped in the face by an unemployed fan of medieval swordsmanship. Love that, the article says. And they said, this guy could be a right-wing sympathizer, you think? An unemployed fan of medieval swordsmanship. President French, Macron, was back at work today making headlines, and now he says he wants to sell all of French and European gold to the continent of Africa so they can have more African development at, drumroll please, Europe's expense. That failed continent. No, thank you. I will not take part in that. Macron needs to be slapped again and again and again. What an idiot, a French idiot at that. And with that, let's get to our cleanup crew. Paul the Gladiator, we're in our overtime tonight, and you have a few things to say tonight as well for you. Hey, Paul.
Hey, man. I'm sitting here with my mop waiting to mop this thing up.
What a show. I knew it was going to be good, and I love it when everyone calls in on the show, man, and go for it. The floor is yours, amigo.
Yeah. Well, you know, I want to go back to what you and Jake have been talking about. Jake made some great points, especially the point, and you know this hits home with me, about all of us Patriots owning digital property.
Yes.
So you know that I myself, I've been buying up digital property, I think, for over the past 17 years now. So this is something that I definitely practice what I preach on. Okay. The Jake's perspective, because he definitely sounds always when he's on as a very perceptive American. Not only should everybody buy digital property, and that could be anything digital, from digital currency to domain names to digital scams for artwork, if you have that kind of money to invest. But also, you know, you two had a conversation about Patriots taking steps and making plans right now in order to be in a safe place and away from all the radical Democrats, which seem to mainly hover in the city and in the suburbs of the cities. So,
yes,
you know, that sounded a lot like you and I about 4 years ago when we were telling everybody on the show to earn all the money you can while Donald Trump's in office. Earn it.
Yes, we said that, absolutely.
Yeah,
you bet.
I mean, we said it over and over. You don't know, no one had a crystal ball. We didn't know if we had 4 years of 8 years of Trump. And, you know, we were telling, look, get a second job, get a part-time job on top of your full-time job, make it while you can. And, you know, everybody looks back and says, oh my God, the first 3 years of Trump, I mean, we were all making money. You know me, I had two jobs and three jobs, down two jobs,
yep.
And then down to one job. And
me too.
And,
yep.
You know, and I made a lot of money. And, you know, now let's look at the marketplace now. So wages are at an all-time low. They are across the board average 22% below 2019 wages. You've got inflation. Gas is up $1.25 nationally everywhere, $1.25 in every state or more. We've got cyber hacks on meat suppliers, oil refinery and gas suppliers. The FBI is now telling these corporations, do not pay the ransom, which means if all of our industry products are held in check by all of these hacking companies in Europe, then supply chains will be crippled. So that's why companies are paying the ransom, because it's either that or they're going to lose their company because supply chains will stop. So,
yes.
You know, now I look at circumstances where, you know, I'm selling my digital property as we speak, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I know that this is probably going to be the peak of digital property.
Yes.
Because we've got 3 more years of this Biden-Harris administration, which means it's only going to further plummet. Inflation's going to go up, continue to rise. Job wages are not going to meet what we expect to earn because they're already 22% less than 2 years ago, not COVID, less than 2019, the high point of the employment under Trump. They're 22% below that now. They're going to drop another, I say, 11%. They'll be 33% less. And now all the business owners are saying they can't hire employees because you're not even paying 2019 wages.
Right.
So
that's right.
Unless you raise your wages 25% to make up for the 22% loss, you got to pay more. 25% gets you back to where we were. Then people will go back to work. Now, I mean, I saved enough money. I don't have to go back to work. I'm actually investing in the sale of my property, which, you know, at this point, look, they're buying real estate at all-time highs. Digital is also selling at pretty much an all-time high. You can't buy an artwork digital code for less than $1 million on the open market now. So there's a lot of money being paid for property all across the board. And now business owners are complaining. Look, you're going to have to reach into your business owner pocket, go into your bank account, and offer people the money that they deserve to go back to work. Because if they take less, they can't afford the rent they're paying now. So
that's right.
You know, people are still paying 2019 rents. And if you offer them 22% less earnings, that means they can't support their families because most people, they don't live below their income. They live right at their income. So, you know, their means are covered by, you know, means are covered by their cost. And, you know, we were telling people 4 years ago, live well below your means, save your money.
Yes. We said that time and time again. Be warned, and we say this is the time to get it, save that money, save those dollars, because what's coming, I warned people, there's no guarantee Trump's going to win re-election. People thought I was crazy. They said, look, I know what you're saying, the votes are going to be there. The problem is, I was telling people, they're going to steal the election. And by God, they did. People thought I was crazy. Look, I am the Nostradamus of politics. I told people, this thing's going to get stolen unless by a miracle Trump wins. We have we needed like 3 to 5 more million more votes just nationwide to overcome the cheating, to overcome all of that. We need a tsunami of votes. And I knew it wasn't out there in the street, and they stole it. They took it, right?
Here we are. What we needed was all of the libertarian votes. That's what we needed. Mm-hmm. If we had that, Trump would have won. Would have counteracted the cheating. Yeah.
It's millions of votes, right?
So now, you know, you got to move to a place like, you know, here in Arizona, we're in jeopardy right now of losing even the governorship because the Phoenix mayor just announced she's going to go against Ducey in the upcoming gubernatorial race. So,
right.
You know, I'm looking at states like Florida, like Idaho, like Utah. I mean, we got to look at red states where you got a red governor and two red senators, and typically the mayors of those cities, even the cities, are Republican. And the majority in Idaho, in Utah, in Florida, those senators, governors, and mayors are majority in all, mostly Republican, which means low taxes and high incomes, because the real entrepreneurial business owners, they live in red states like Texas, like Florida, like Utah, and like Idaho. So you better start looking at these completely red states, because we used to be one. We had two senators that were Republican and a Republican governor. Now we have two senators that are Democrat, and our governor is vulnerable to the Gallegos family, who is a city mayor, and a U.S. rep is her husband. So Ducey's going to have one hell of a race to combat with, because you're going to have a United States House rep helping his wife, the city mayor of Phoenix, battle the Capitol for the Democratic vote for her to become governor. I want to get the fuck out of here. I've been telling you I want out of Arizona for a year and a half, because I saw the handwriting on the wall.
Yeah, this exactly. Plus, don't forget, caravans are coming, folks. More caravans. Paul, we got to end it right to there. They're telling me to get off the bandwidth here of Blog Talk Studio in our overtime segment. We'll do part two of your call next week, guaranteed, buddy, up front and center. After JD, and have a great night, Paul. Thanks, Ben.
All right, man. Good night.
Great points. I had the smartest callers. We had, my God, folks, are you in for a treat every week? You had Jake Vegas call in. We've had the Irish Pirate. We had Lincoln from Missouri. We've had JD, the host of the Article 5 Live. My God, we had Paul the Gladiator. I mean, what more do you want? We had the Gunslinger. I mean, you don't hear these kind of calls on many other shows. There's only a handful of Patriot shows that are out there that have the guts to tell you what's really going on. My show, JD's show, a few other shows that are out there, but these mainstream shows, they suck. And they're rhino shows, and they're all watered down with program directors that are politically correct. And we talked about a lot of things. We covered a lot of ground tonight. There is a war on white males in America. I will not mince words. If you're a white, heterosexual Christian male, just know the Marxist left has a target on you, in your family, in your friends, in your home, in your suburbs. You have been warned about the racial unrest in this country. You have been warned about how it's growing, not decreasing. My view, my best advice to all is to stay with your close friends and associates and people of like mind, like yourself. Yes. I do encourage you to self-balkanize now. Get in positions of strength right now, because doing anything else can and will put you, your friends, your children, your family in extreme jeopardy going forward in life. If you don't believe me, just watch all the Twitter and intense internet videos and attacks daily against white men and white women. We get it from the media. Academia has study after study about how being white is evil. And I say this, they are attacking you. Notice what it is. Understand when people are attacking you. Do not blow it off. That could be a death sentence for you, your friends, and your family. We want freedom and liberty to prevail in America. We do not want the doom and gloom that the left wants. And that is why we are the Patriots. That's why we will prevail. We must prevail. Thank you all very much. Have a great night. God bless. From my underground studio in the deep mountains of Arizona, I thank you all for being here tonight. We will converge next Tuesday for episode 3 of The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Yes, I'm doing a special encore show just for you. That's our fun show. All are invited. And next Thursday, of course, 8 o'clock is our show once again. We will delve more down these rabbit holes. I want to hear more from you. I'm always happy to give you the floor as well. Take care. We shall return.